December 30th, 2022, 1848 hours. Ward Green here. If you look at the snowfall for this month, December of this year, compared to the prior years, the two previous years, that is, we see a lot more snow this December than last year, and quite a bit more than the previous year, and a little less than November 2 years ago, of course, but we're seeing quite a lot of snow this December. Now, last year, it seemed as though we got very little snow. It appeared like we got almost none, but that was true for November, December, I suppose. And then January, February, of course, wasn't too different from 2021. But we have yet to see what will happen this January and February. We'll see, probably, if we live that long, I suppose, right? I mean, we will see in faith, right? Assuming we are still around to witness it. But anyway, that's the report that I have on the weather. My thumb, let's go back to, let's switch over now. So we have a darker background so I don't get as much reflection on my glasses. That's better. Let's bring our monitor here. Bible, Psalms. We're at Psalm 90. But before we talk about the psalm, this is a psalm of Moses. Psalm 90. Before we talk about that, let me see. Why have I changed? Why is my... I just don't know what's happening there. Better, I think. Yeah. I want to talk about my other thing, a few other things. Chevrolet is talking about a new truck called the electric Silverado. You know, the EV version of the Silverado, which is a truck that comes in many different, or quite a few, if not many, different configurations with double cab, single cab, long bed, short bed. The cab opens up to make the bed longer. It's got some an extension on the bed using the tailgate. It's got all sorts of different features. It looks like a very interesting truck, and it's priced starting at $50,000 Canadian to get a truck like that, all electric, so it won't require as much maintenance, hopefully, all those things going for it, which makes it look like an amazing opportunity or option for anyone looking for a truck, myself included. The thing is, it's a little longer than my existing van right now, 8 inches longer, even if I get the short bed. So I have to think about how it's going to fit in my garage and so on. But my van is about 202 inches long compared to 210 inches for the shortest version that I've found so far of the Silverado. But I'll be looking at it in more detail. My thumb... Good news. The splint is gone. I've taken the splint off now. I don't need to have a splint, but I've added a layer of an additional layer of surgical tape. By the way, that surgical tape I mentioned. What was it called? I don't want to have to turn all the way around to see it. What is it? Hypofix. The Hypofix surgical tape, that's not what this is. I just added regular smooth surgical tape. Another piece of it around my thumb to help restrict the movement and protect the existing bandage. I've only changed the bandage once so far because it doesn't need more than that. But the other thing is, you know, it was such a bad cut too, I don't really want to open it up. I want it to heal a little more, and then I can change the bandage every day at that point if I want to, and then it won't need as much bandage. But the Hypofix is not as expensive as I thought. You can get a big roll of Hypofix for like $13 on Amazon. Excellent surgical tape. Breathable, strong, flexible, you know, really stretchy and really sticky. It lasts for quite a few days before the stick becomes, you know, loosened by exposure to water in the sink and things like that. But I mean, it's a very good gauze bandage tape. It adheres well to gauze, it adheres well to skin. It's a good, excellent surgical tape, actually. Hypofix, Hypafix. I couldn't believe the price. I thought it was, maybe I paid more for it at the pharmacy, but I'm going to shop probably more so on Amazon for everything, and not at pharmacies and places like that. But I got my snow shovel, right? And that was not from Amazon, but from a local store. So there's a lot of options now to shop locally and have free shipping. And the prices are just as good as Amazon, but they're often out of stock. That's what I would say. So the difference is, you know, Amazon is just as reliable. They deliver fast. I mean, they're just as fast as anybody. I mean, Amazon's probably the best place to buy anything from generally. That's why I always try to buy it from Amazon if possible. I'm very loyal. And the garbage people today were so very careful with my black box. They were careful to laid it down carefully on the snowbank. I could see they'd positioned it very carefully and gently, because they accidentally perhaps they're aware perhaps that it was broken. Maybe they were the ones who did it and or whatever, but they were aware that my blue box got broken, I think. So anyway, but the blue box is fine. I think now it'll be back in service. It's just, it costs a few bucks to fix it and takes a bit of time to fix. And maybe I don't, you know, I don't know if it's fixed really strong as it was, but maybe it had a hairline crack in it before, right? I mean, we don't know. So it's not something to worry about. I think the garbage people do absolutely fabulous job. They do a fabulous, difficult job, and they do a great job. They do it wonderfully well, so I'm not going to criticize anything they do. In colder weather, I think I would just say perhaps be a little more careful with whether you want to, you know, see the boxes have any impacts, you know, like even dropping a box, I think, can break a box. I think that's true, because some of the breakages I've seen in the past, I believe, were probably caused by dropping. So it doesn't have to be that anybody actually impacted the box with their hand or their foot or in any such way as to break it. But that would certainly be another way it could break, is if they wanted to move the box and they wanted to use their foot because it was more convenient and they have a long day's work and they have to move the boxes from where they're, you know, they probably can dump the box and then throw it back instead of having to walk all the way over to the driveway, right? And in my case, the other day, I didn't put the box close enough to the curb because I wanted to keep it back because we had a lot of snow. So if they wanted to put my box back where I left it, then they'd have to kick it or throw it back. And that may have been why that broke the box, but I don't know yet. I think the fact they laid the black box down carefully indicates that they are trying to be careful now, which is good. So I have a lot of things I'm researching. I've ordered some more tarps, and I'm thinking about ordering a snow blower, and I'm shopping for the Silverado and looking at the Silverado. Should I get a Chevy Silverado? Because you can get them right now. Is it electric right now? I don't even know. That one I looked at, I'm not sure if it was electric or not. I don't think it was, actually. Where's the Silverado? That's a snowblower. I don't know what that is. How to make a homemade broom. This is it. Okay. What was this other one? How do you weld plastic? Yeah. You should soak the bristles possibly in hot water and salt before you use a broom. And I'm thinking about doing that with mine. The truck. This is the Silverado. So this is not electric, come to think of it. It's not electric, that's right. So this would not be electric. Right, but I could still buy it. But I wouldn't buy it if it were not electric, because it would have more maintenance. And I don't want to buy a North American motor, because I know that they're not as reliable as the Japanese, so, or at least they weren't a few years ago. They might be now. But I don't want to have the maintenance of a combustion engine, I think. That's the reason. So this is a combustion engine. That's $86,000. But that's the net price. The regular cab standard, ...210 inches long overall. 211 actually. But this is priced starting at $45,000. Oh, there, look, I clicked on this one. The regular cab long bed is $53,000. Net price. But that's a longer vehicle. 229 inches long. That's 230 inches long. That's nearly 30 inches longer than mine, 2.5 feet longer than my truck is now, which I could fit in my garage if I didn't have a big riding mower blocking my way or taking up some of the space. No, I could fit it. I could actually maybe fit it, depending on how wide it is. How wide is it? It's also 75 inches wide. Compare that to my Honda Odyssey. It's 75 wide. Okay, it's the same width. That's good to know. So, pretty well the same width, exactly. My 03 Odyssey, 75.6 wide, compared to the Chevy Silverado, is 75.6, exactly the same. Well, that's the height. 81 wide, okay. That was the height. Yeah, it's 81 wide and 76 high. It's higher than my Odyssey, because if I look at my Odyssey, it's only 70 inches. 69, actually, 69 inches tall. That difference in height between the LX and the EX is probably caused by the tires. That's what I'm thinking about. But 69 inches compared to 76 inches? It's a lot. It's a big difference in height. 7 inches difference in height, which could make a difference because I'm under a carport. It makes a difference with how easily I can clear the snow off the top of it with a broom. That height makes a difference, and the width will make a difference. It's 6 inches or so wider, 5 inches, 6 inches. You have to know the precise numbers. 75.6 and 81.4. 75.7. That's exactly 6 inches, I would say. You know, very, a little bit less actually than 6 inches. 75.6, 81.4 wide. That's without the mirrors, but the mirror, that's okay. The mirrors aren't going to take up much space on the ground anyway. They don't take up space. It's the width on the ground I'm concerned with, and also a couple of feet off the ground where I've got the mower and the other things that can interfere. Up at the mirror height, it's okay for it to be a bit wider. But 81 inches, see, that's 6 inches wider. So that means I'll have to, if I parked it over near the right-hand side, even the way I have it right now, I'd probably be able to get my van further back into the garage. And also, if I put my mower, if I park my mower slightly more to the right, or left, or wherever you want to call it, to the right as you look into the garage, but more north, to the north, if I park the mower further north, I'd have more room. I could get a couple more inches that way. So I'd be able to squeeze this vehicle in there, widthwise, and then I could use, but then I might not be able to open up the tailgate while it was parked. That's one thing. And if I back it in, I could always park it with the tailgate facing out the entrance, you know, of the garage, and that way I could open the tailgate and unload that way. That's what I have to do, probably. I'd have to park it with the forward end driving in. Drive in forwards into the carport, and then I could load the tailgate from the rear of the vehicle. It'd be easier to drive in too, much easier. And driving out is no problem, right? But it'd be much more accurate to drive the vehicle facing forward, and then I could park it in a tighter space. So it makes sense. I mean, I may not end up buying one of these, but let's go back and look. I'm looking at the Silverado because it just came out with the electric vehicle. They're not ready yet. The electric version is not ready. It's coming out in 2023. So, you know, if we look at what they're coming out with the Silverados, you can also get other things like the Tahoe, the Traverse. They're interesting looking. I've come to think of it, but what else did I look at? The EV Bolt. You can get the Bolt. Let's look at the 2022 Bolt, which is an electric, just for price. What are they saying now? $36,000 net price. Yeah, so that's definitely affordable. That's very affordable, considering, you know, it's not the cheapest car, but it's electric. An EUV 2022, the Bolt. What's an EV? Is a utility vehicle? It's an EV, is that right? What is an EUV? Let's find out. Whoops. What is it? In cars. Yeah, they're both electric. Okay, that's what I thought. It's more expensive. That's the difference. That's Home Depot. Okay, anyway. Electric. So you can get one of these a Bolt option, or you have a couple of electric options, quite a few electric options there. Well, when we go to the 2023 Silverado, it's not even, okay, that's not even electric, I think. Right? Because it doesn't say it's EV. Wow. That's not even EV. 93,000. I don't think it's EV. So we have to go back then. You can reserve. The EV right here for 2023. But let's find out what the price is. Here it says you can it's coming. The estimated retail price in Canada is $55,000. Which is pretty phenomenal. Oops, there, look at that. Well, the fully loaded one is 119,000. The electric Silverado, yeah, will start at 54,000, it says here. In Canada. So it's possible to get that for that price. That's what I thought. Something like that. But it's not available. You have to reserve it. It's coming. That's that situation. Now, I've had a lot of things going on. I'm thinking about buying a snowblower because, well, I thought about it earlier. But it requires that you use the proper gauge extension cord. You can't cheat and use a cheaper or thinner extension cord because if you do, you'll damage the motors on these things. It's a very bad idea. That's what my understanding is. They're serious about that. You don't want to run these motors at a lower voltage because you're using a cheaper extension cord. So you need in about 12 gauge. You need 12 gauge actually to run anything longer than, I don't know, 50 feet maybe to get 15 amps. But you have to just look it up. Conform to what the manufacturer says every time. Always conform to what they say. Don't cheat on what the manufacturer says because you could easily end up costing yourself a lot of money. Don't cheat on that. They only cost about $50 to get a 75-foot long 12-gauge extension cord, which is what I bought for my hedge trimmer. And now that I bought that, I can use that for a snowblower. I don't have to buy that again. But the snowblowers I can get for something like $200 or $300, or if I want to pay $400, I can get a slightly more powerful one. Or considerably more powerful one, but they'll throw the snow 20 feet even for the cheaper one. I'm thinking about getting an electric snowblower. It's actually lightweight enough I could carry it up the stairs and use it to clear my deck too. Maybe I should get a smaller one to clear the deck. But these are things I can think about over time. I don't have to rush into it. They're electric. These snowblowers are electric. That's why they're lightweight, and that's why They're low maintenance because of that too, but that's why they're so inexpensive. They're a gas powered snowblower. It looks like it's more like $1,000. I mean, and you have to maintain it. But these electric ones are very low maintenance, phenomenal. And you can get them for about $200 or $300, and $400 depending on the size of, you know, how wide and how much snow you want to throw with it. So I'm really considering it. I'm not trying to avoid exercise either. I don't want to do that. That's one of the problems with it, is it's bad for your health if you don't get the exercise. If you don't, when I'm shoveling, I get a lot more exercise than I would get with a snowblower, but I'd still get a lot of exercise, I guess, with a snowblower. And for $300, I should probably bite the bullet and do something about that. Other problem is I've got to find a place to store it. Everything I buy, I have to find a place to put it. And that's, and I'll have to bring it in the house in the summer, I think. Would be a good idea to keep it safe in the summer from the elements, or else cover it up with a tarp is another option, but there's no room out there. I mean, I could give up some of the space I'm using to store wood, and that could be where I put the snowblower, I guess. But there's no other real space back there. Or I could store it where my electrical, or my, not my electrical, my where my garden hose, ho my garden hoses are stored. I could keep it there, maybe. But then I'd have to find another place to put those. I was out today and I realized that it's a good thing. See, for the unbelievers, you can stop listening now. But for the believers, I know that Jehovah was with me this year because I, for some reason, I didn't bring my drainage, my downspout, drain pipes. The bottom portion of it, I didn't bring those in the house this year. And then we got this big meltdown. All the snow, the big melt, all the snow was melting. And all the water's running out through these detachable drain extensions at the bottom of the house there. If I detach one of them, the water washes away all the soil from around the foundation of the house. I don't want that. So I didn't bring them in this year, and now we've got all this melt, and all the melt water is flowing out through these extensions to keep it flowing away from the house, which is perfect. And I didn't, I was, the other day I was thinking, oh, I've got to bring those in. But no, I didn't have to. In fact, it was a good thing I didn't. So Jehovah was watching out for me there. I didn't know. I didn't even think about bringing them in until very recently. And then I realized that it was a good thing I didn't bring them in. So we'll see what happens January and February. But if the weather gets really cold, of course, I mean, I could bring them in just to prevent them getting clogged up with ice or something, and preventing flow. But I don't know why I've brought them in other years. I don't think I should bring them in because anytime you do get a melt, you're endangering your soil around the foundation, which is covering and protecting the insulation on the foundation, which I've got ever since I had the foundation insulated back in, I guess it was, when was that? 2008 or 2009? I think it might have been that long ago, but it was, yeah, it might have been that long ago when I had the foundation sealed and insulated. But the other thing is, you need to have a sump pump that works as well. Because when they sealed up the foundation, they unclogged my drainage, and I was getting no sump pump functionality with my old sump pump having been completely worn out and no longer functioning. But I wasn't getting any water in the basement because there was no drainage, so the water wasn't running into my house. And I don't think I needed drainage because I'm on high ground, relatively speaking. So I don't think I really needed to have the drainage. Now that I've got the drainage, I do need a sump pump. And if it fails, I'll be in trouble. So the fact that they fixed the drainage is not maybe a good thing. Maybe they shouldn't have done that. I'm not sure. But because I'm a believer, I know that Jehovah knows better than I do. That's the difference between believing and not believing. We know that if Jehovah wants us to do something, he gets us to do it, and he allows us to do it, but he inspires us to do things that will be for our benefit, and that's what believers believe. We don't view anything bad as happening because of what Jehovah does, but we only learn from it, and we can blame the bad things on our own failure to take action or our own wrong actions. Those bad things can be blamed on ourselves. We don't have to blame Jehovah. And we don't, because we believe in Jehovah. We believe that he's a loving father and a creator. So Psalm 90 is written by Moses, Book 4, Psalms 90 to 106. Psalm 90 being part one of two, where Psalm 91 is a continuation of it, perhaps for another day tomorrow, but a prayer of Moses, the man of the true God. We could even wait until, we could take tomorrow as a holiday and wait until January 1st to start, because both 31 and the number 1 also, they both begin with the digit 1. So if we want to keep our verse number aligned with the last digit in the month, in the date of the month, we could just wait one day there. Psalm 90 says, O Jehovah, you yourself have proved to be a real dwelling for us. During generation after generation, before the mountains themselves were born, or you proceeded to bring forth, as with labor pains, the earth and the productive land, even from time indefinite, even to time indefinite, you are God. You make mortal man go back to crushed matter, and you say, Go back, you sons of men. For 1,000 years are in your eyes but as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch during the night. You have swept them away. They become a mere sleep. In the morning they are just like green grass that changes. In the morning it puts forth blossoms and must change. At evening it withers and certainly dries up. For we have come to an end in your anger, and by your rage we have been disturbed. You have set our errors right in front of you, our hidden things before your bright face. For all our days have come to their decline in your fury. We have finished our years just like a whisper. In themselves, the days of our years are 70 years. And if because of special mightiness they are 80 years, yet their insistence is on trouble and hurtful things, for it must quickly pass by, and away we fly. Who is there knowing the strength of your anger and your fury according to the fear of you? Show us just how to count our days in such a way that we may bring a heart of wisdom in. Do return, O Jehovah, how long will it be, and feel regret over your servants? Satisfy us in the morning with your loving kindness, that we may cry out joyfully and may rejoice during all our days. Make us rejoice correspondingly to the days that you have afflicted us, the years that we have seen calamity. May your activity appear to your own servants and your splendor upon their sons. And let the pleasantness of Jehovah our God prove to be upon us, and the work of our hands do you firmly establish upon us. Yes, the work of our hands, do you firmly establish it. So that was Psalms 90 by Moses. And the interesting thing that I noticed there was the psalmist Moses writes, asking Jehovah to make us, cause us to rejoice in correspondence to the number of days that we've been afflicted. In other words, give us an equal amount of rejoicing compared to how much affliction we have been dealing with the years that we've seen calamity. So give us just as many years of joyfulness as we have of calamity. That's an interesting request there that Moses makes. And he knows and states that even back in the time of Moses, the lifespan of a human, not the life expectancy, which is of course dependent on other factors such as infant deaths, but the lifespan of a human was about 70 or 80 years, even in the time of Moses. And yet Moses lived to be 120, despite that standard lifespan of 70 or 80 years, which even nowadays we see is also the case. In the time of Moses, 80 years was an age of special mightiness, as it is today also. To live until the time of one's 80s is quite a long time to live. My own fleshly father lived to be 88 years old. He was born in 1931, February 8th, and he died in May of 2019. Actually, I'm trying to remember the actual date in May now. I mean, May 9th, maybe? I'm not sure. Not sure. I'll have to research that, see if I can find it. I wonder if it's online. Let's see. Let's get Google. All right, let's get Google. Wait a minute. I've got Google here already, right? Yeah. Let's see. May 9th, 2019. I wonder if he's well known. I know he is in the nuclear. May 10th. Well, that's unusual. They're giving it on Thursday, May 9th. Yet he died on the 10th. That's not possible. He must have died on the 9th. Because you couldn't have anything written about it on the 9th if he died on the 10th. Doesn't make sense. I think May 9th is probably the correct date because I had that in my memory. Anyway, returning to our study, let's see, Matthew 20. And this is fairly short, or not too long for a gospel account chapter. But 19, it ended with us having the story of those that are first will be last, and the last first, many. For many people, that will be true. That the last will be first. And so what did he mean by that? Well, we'll have to see. Here it is. Here's the story about it. Matthew chapter 20. For the kingdom of the heavens is like a man, little children, a householder, who went out early in the morning to hire workers for his vineyard. When he had agreed with the workers for a denarius a day, he sent them forth into his vineyard. Going out also about the third hour, he saw others standing unemployed in the marketplace, and to those he said, "You also go into the vineyard, and whatever is just I will give you." So off they went, Again he went out about the sixth and the ninth hour and did likewise. Finally, about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing, and he said to them, "Why have you been standing here all day unemployed?" They said to him, "Because nobody has hired us." He said to them, "You too go into the vineyard." When it became evening, the master of the vineyard said to his man in charge, "Call the workers and pay them their wages, proceeding from the last to the first." When the 11th hour men came, they each received a denarius. So when the first came, they concluded they would receive more. But they also received pay at the rate of a denarius. On receiving it, they began to murmur against the householder and said, "These last put in 1 hour's work. Still you made them equal to us who bore the burden of the day and the burning heat." But in reply to one of them, he said, "Fellow, I do you no wrong. You agreed with me for a denarius, did you not? Take what is yours and go. I want to give to this last one the same as to you. Is it not lawful for me to do what I want with my own things? Or is your eye wicked because I am good?" In this way the last ones will be first, and the first ones last. Being now about to go up to Jerusalem, Jesus took the 12 disciples off privately and said to them on the road, "Look, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered up to the chief priests and scribes, and they will condemn him to death and will deliver him up to men of the nations to make fun of and to scourge and to impale. And the third day he will be raised up." Then the mother of the sons of Zebedee approached him with her sons, doing obeisance and asking for something from him. He said to her, "What do you want?" She said to him, "Give the word that these my two sons may sit down, one at your right hand and one at your left in your kingdom." Jesus said in answer, "You men do not know what you are asking for. Can you drink the cup that I am about to drink?" They said to him, "We can." He said to them, "You will indeed drink my cup, but this sitting down at my right hand and at my left is not mine to give, but it belongs to those for whom it has been prepared by my Father." When the 10 others heard this, they became indignant at the two brothers. But Jesus, calling them to him, said, "You know that the rulers of the nations lord it over them, and the great men wield authority over them. This is not the way among you, but whoever wants to become great among you must be your minister, and whoever wants to be first among you must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man came, not to be ministered to, but to minister and to give his soul a ransom in exchange for many." Now, as they were going out of Jericho, a great crowd followed him. And look, two blind men sitting beside the road, when they heard that Jesus was passing by, cried out, saying, "Lord, have mercy on us, Son of David." But the crowd sternly told them to keep silent. Yet they cried all the louder, saying, "Lord, have mercy on us, Son of David." So Jesus stopped, called them, and said, "What do you want me to do for you?" They said to him, "Lord, let our eyes be opened." Moved with pity, Jesus touched their eyes, and immediately they received sight, and they followed him. That was Matthew chapter 20. It ends with a miracle of Jesus restoring the sight to two blind men by merely touching their eyes. It was an incredible, unbelievable, but remarkable and astounding miracle of healing. I mean, he healed their sight. It was just one of many miracles that Jesus did, or two of many miracles that Jesus did. They were two men healed from blindness. miraculous. I mean, it's just, you know, it makes one, you either have to believe it or you have to become an unbeliever. You know, you have no other choice there. It's one or the other. But we have so much evidence for the reality of what Jesus did do, for the miracles, but also for the time period, the history of the time period, which I go into in the article Born and Raised, too. The actual evidence is very strong that Jesus did live at that time, that he was born in 6 BCE and that he died in 30 CE. And that would mean, of course, that he lived a total of 34 years, actually. From, let's see, 5 BCE, the spring, when he was a few months old, or you know, some months old, up until 1 CE would be 5 full years, because there's no zero year. So that's 5 years. And then from 1 to 30 is 29 more. So 34 years old he was when he was impaled. But the time period is so well proven in that article, Born and Raised, but it's also possible to prove it because there's evidence. There's so much good evidence about that time period. And that's provided by Jehovah. So it makes us believe, because of the evidence, that Jesus was real, that he did live at that time, and therefore the accounts about him are not fictional in any sense. He was a real person, and these accounts of the miracles were given by more than one individual in 4 different gospels written by different people. It attests strongly, and it speaks for itself, that these really did happen, that he did perform miracles. And they were astounding. The kinds of miracles and the number of miracles were quite astounding. Walking on water, we saw not long ago. Now, this is for today, I think, a good point that we can stop our Bible study. And little children, I hope you enjoyed that. For the next day, I'm not sure what we'll do tomorrow, but we may have a day off. We might do something different. I don't know what we'll do. We're at the point now where we could terminate the study and be somewhat reasonable in the length of this study today. We're not pushing anything. Oh, I wanted to update the website information. I want to give a short report on the website. Not the main page of the website. I'm not talking about that. I'm just talking about on the video section of the website, which is in the JW symbol at the top. All the videos and audios are recorded in that section. Or if you click on that, you can get to all the videos and audios. Except today, I removed some of the more bulky, larger 720p files that were there so that I can save space, and I'll probably be publishing something smaller from now on, just or limiting it to 360p or something like that, because those video files are possess enough, they have a good enough quality that they can be made larger than 360p and you can still use them. So they can be, you know, you can enlarge your video window by you know, zooming in on the window, or you know, just expanding it to whatever size you want, and it will be of adequate resolution even at 360p, considering the fact that web space is not free. You know, it does cost money. It does use resources, and I don't want to be using more than is necessary. So the only, I also deleted a few files that were 1080p. So I deleted some 720 and some 1080p files, but none of the movie files, I don't think, like the main, none of my some of them were the not my movies, but I mean my, that's what I mean when I say not the movie files, not the movies where I made movies with captions and all that. Those files, I didn't touch those. I just removed some of the video files that I was, where I started publishing every day. At the point where, back in September, I guess, when I started to publish every day. September 25th. By the way, I wanted to mention that the Sermon on the Mount, if you want to check that out, is from September 5th. September 25th, I should say. Not September 5th. September 25th. And the other forms of that, one of them is October 8th, that's Matthew 6. October 9th is Matthew 7. And then September, you'd have to go back to September 25th to get Matthew 5. But those were the dates when I did the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew, which is chapters 5 through 7. So you can go and search for those dates, September 25th, October 8th and 9th. And you'll find those. And in those cases, the October example, that's still got 720p in October for those files. November 25th, I only have 480p for that one. That's interesting. So why did that happen? I'm trying to think. Maybe I might still remove the 720p. It's possible. Oh, look, I've got some 1080p in October. Yeah, so I might still be removing some. Oh, no, you know what? I did remove them from the website. I think so, yeah. I think they're removed. They're not removed from my files, but they're removed from the website. Yeah, so I think you might not find the 720p anymore as a resolution. For those who don't know what resolution is, I'll just explain that. 720p is, well, resolution in general means the number of pixels. So, and 720p is the height, the number of lines of video. 720, and P just means progressive scan, rather than scanning every second line and then going back and doing the next lines, or the ones that were omitted the first time. But progressive means it does every single line one after the other. But that's how it updates the video. But it's 720 lines is what 720p is, and it's also 720 by 1280 is what it is. So that's what 720p means. But not in this case, because I'm using the Liquid Retina display of the MacBook Pro M1 Max 16-inch, and it ends up being 720 by 1112 here. But anyway, it's the normal standard resolution of 720p is 720 by 1280, or 1280 by 720. But 1080p is typically 1920 by 1080, and, you know, 360 is 640 by 360. In this case, 556 by 360. In the case of October 1st, for example, which I'm looking at. But those videos will all still be available in slightly lower resolution, and I will try to keep as extensive a library as I can online. And sometimes, perhaps what I'll do in some cases is publish a higher resolution copy for a short period of time, and then I'll delete it after a period of time. So that way I'm not using as much space over time on the website. I can put a higher resolution version there for a short period of time, perhaps a week, or maybe I can put it there for even longer, I don't know. And then, or maybe I can just put it there for one day and then delete it. So that if there's someone who wants to get that copy, they can get it on the very day that it's uploaded, and then they can copy it or whatever they want to do with it. But it's, free of charge and copyright free and all that. I'm not going to be interested in copyrighting unless somebody is trying to sell it for a large amount of money or something. I might be concerned about that. I wouldn't want anyone selling any of my work at all for any amount of money. So it's all meant to be free. But I might upload higher resolution copies for a limited time period. I haven't figured that out yet. So that's the report on that. That's the website. I would love to update my main page. It's just that it's so much work. And if I do that, then I can't devote as much work to the other things I'm doing. So my main page does have links to the JW.org video page and the main page of JW.org. Now, there's an article right now, or there was an article on JW.org on the main page about the year 2022 being a tumultuous year or something to that effect. I don't know how you found the year 2022 to be, whether it was a difficult or tumultuous year for you. I didn't find it to be that way at all. In fact, I found it to be exciting, challenging in some ways, but not because of the pandemic, certainly. Not at all. But the pandemic had no effect on me whatsoever. Absolutely none. And that's because I learned about vitamin C at a time which was very much right on time, just in time for the pandemic, so that I knew exactly how I was going to treat an infection, and I wasn't going to be interested in vaccinations at all, based on my knowledge that I could cure any infection with vitamin C. So yeah, the pandemic didn't have an impact on me at all. I did wear masks when I was asked to, and so on, and I followed all the guidelines. And it's occurred to me, it's interesting how people measure their temperature. Now, there was a video on what used to be called the iUpdate Web's YouTube channel. Which is now called Apple Track. There was a video recently about measuring temperature, using the Apple Watch and so on. But it occurs to me that temperature, it's a curious thing about temperature. I suppose it's useful for women, but I'm not sure. I'm not at all sure that that's the best way to determine ovulation or anything. For women to use temperature, I'm not sure at all. So I haven't studied it, and that's why I'm saying I'm not sure. But it's surprising to me that so much emphasis has been placed on the measurement of temperature in medicine, conventional medicine. Because I can tell whether I've got a fever just by touching my forehead with my hand. I don't need a thermometer for that, because my hand's temperature is always going to be a low temperature, even when I have a fever on my forehead. So it's going to be possible to detect the fever on my forehead or in my body without a thermometer. And the other thing is that what people do when they have a temperature is the wrong thing. They try to lower the temperature. and they try to get rid of the fever using some artificial means, symptomatic, you know, relief using drugs, which is the wrong approach completely, in my opinion, absolutely wrong. Vitamin C is not a drug, it's a vitamin, and that would be used, that could be used for an infection. That will bring your temperature down because it will cure the infection. But to simply try to remove the symptom is a wrong approach, and that's why I think this whole idea of measuring temperature, possibly that in itself, is also a wrong approach. Now, we know that 98.6 used to be what they said was the standard average temperature of a human being, and since after that, or more accurately, it was described as 98.1, but they believed it was 98.6 for many years. But it's not 98.6 anyway, whatever it is, it's something else. Perhaps something like closer to 98 degrees or whatever than 98.6, but whatever the temperature is of a human body, I'm not convinced, I'm not sure, I'm not at all impressed with the idea of measuring temperature and using that to diagnose something or to treat something. So it just, the list of things that modern conventional medicine is doing with which I don't approve just gets longer and longer and longer. And, you know, the lack of scientific credibility also that they continue to display is also growing, it seems to me, or it's certainly not, it's not impressive to me. It certainly lacks, it certainly displays a phenomenal amount of ignorance of what science really is. So I don't approve of the whole idea of the medical system. First of all, I don't approve of the idea that you should be treated in such a way as to be viewed as a laboratory specimen or something, which is more or less the way that they treat people, and that they actually believe wrongly that they know how to treat illness, which they don't. So it's very, very disturbing, not just disappointing, but it's that as well, but it's disturbing to me the way that the modern conventional medicine has been treating people, and probably they're still treating people that way. I'm quite convinced of it, that they're not going to change anytime soon. But I know they do learn. They are teachable in part, and possibly they want to learn too, but they're still entrenched in this past false belief or this system of false belief about all the things that they have been doing in the past in medicine, that the whole idea of treating illness is wrong. You should treat health before it ever becomes illness. I mean, you should search for health before you get ill. I mean, you should be looking for your own food that you need to eat, and studying nutrition, and each person needs to get their own health, and they need to do that from a very young age. They need to learn, but they need to be taught by people who are doing the same thing, not by people who, I mean, you can't teach a child to go to the doctor, because that teaches them to learn nothing. You don't want to teach people to depend on others. You want to teach people to become independent and to listen to their own bodies and practice holistic medicine on themselves, to love their own bodies. So with that note, And on the note of my thumb being looking like it's going to make a, it has a good prognosis now, my thumb, with, on that note, the thing is, yeah, I mean, it's in the past, you know, people try to put fear on other people. They try to make us afraid. That's the reason for going to the doctor, because you're afraid that it's worse than what it really is, or that it's worse than you think it is. That's the reason for going to the doctor. But you can use your instinct, and Jehovah can communicate with you. Now, there are times when you will have to go to a hospital or, you know, see another physician, see a physician, but it's not doctors that we want, it's physicians, people who are expert in the physical body, not a doctor who uses drugs and, you know, surgery, unnecessary sometimes, and all sorts of treatments that are not, you know, acceptable, according to, or they're not uninvasive, or they're too invasive. They're more invasive, like surgery and drugs, more invasive, instead of treatments. They're not holistic, using treatments that are not treating the whole person in the best possible way. They're not nutritive by nourishing the body. They're not teaching anyone to learn anything about their body. They're not doing anything good other than attempting to force people to do things or administering treatments against someone's will, or, you know, because the doctor or the medical establishment, not the doctor, has determined that these things are arbitrarily beneficial, let's say, but they're not, of course, but that's what they're believing. Or that the risk is acceptable. That's the other thing. That for someone else to decide for us what risk is acceptable, it's just unacceptable for them to do that. But it's unacceptable for someone else to decide on our behalf what risk is acceptable. No, it's not acceptable for them to do that. We have to be the ones who decide what risk is acceptable. That's the way it should be, and that's the way it must be. This is Ward Green. It's December 30th, 2022, 1956 hours. And God bless you. Thank you for listening, for watching. I love you. Have a great night, day, morning, whatever time it is. And I'll see you soon, hopefully, on another video, or the next video, whatever we want to call it. Bye for now.